Glory. So Pastor Alex and Pastor Patty are away. I love it when they have the opportunity to visit family. And usually we have the same rules as always when they're not here. If you do anything that I don't like, I'm telling. If there isn't enough applause when I speak, I'm telling. You know the rules. We abide by these rules when the pastors are away. Do we not? God is glory. Everybody's listening. Should we allow the children to go to kids' church? Is there a kids' church today? Somebody let me know. Yes? All right, little ones. Let's get the little ones ready to go. The Lord says, forbid them not to come unto me. So let's have the little ones go. Let's, Father God, we pray for those who are here, those who are going to be in Sunday school, nursery, youth group, whatever you have planned for them today. Father God, we ask you to lift them up. Lift them up, Father God. We ask you to lift up the teachers, Father, those who are volunteering their time to pour something into the lives of these little ones. Father God, we bless them and we ask you to anoint them to pray over one another, to prophesy, to have dreams and visions, for there is one Holy Spirit and he wants to touch the children too. So God bless them as they go in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you this morning about a few things, and I'll have some scriptures, so I'll speak it out to the young men at the back. They're wonderful young men. Let's give them a hand, because every church cannot grow and increase without the next generation. So we as the older generation are teaching the younger generation, and we walk together. So it's important that they're with us so that they can learn how to move in the things of the Lord, so they can learn how to receive his promise and how to pray for one another, how to prophesy, how to give and share. So it's very important that we have the young people in our service with us. So I just thank God for them, and I ask you, God, to bless them. Bless those who are seeking careers, those who are graduating. It's June. It's graduation month. So we just praise you, Lord, and bless you for those children who are graduating, those who are in high school and college and university. Father God, we ask you to bless them over the summer months. Give them revelation of who you are in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Many years ago, I was in a hard place, and I remember there was one night I was alone in my house, and the wind was howling outside. Do you remember in the last few days the wind has been howling? There's been such a great wind picking up all over the city. And the Lord reminded me of that day when it was dark, and it was probably around midnight or later. But the wind was howling outside my house, and I'm sure it was late fall or early winter. And I thought, my gosh, is this thing ever going to end? Is this storm ever going to end? Is this tempt us ever going to recede? The wind kept howling, and it was promise of a storm. And the storm was coming, and the storm was coming, but I was waiting for the storm. And you know, sometimes when there are things in our lives that we can't manage or challenges that we can't face, sometimes it's as if, God, I just want it to be over with. I just want it to be over with. But the wind kept blowing, and I wanted it to be over with. And then I heard my garbage cans and the recycle bins, and I heard the banging against the shed, the barbecue fell over, and the storm was now upon me. I'm going to encourage you today that your God is in the midst of your storm. I'm going to encourage you because the Lord wants something for us other than defeat. He wants victory instead. And I want you to keep that word in mind today, instead. It's a big, beautiful word, instead. I remember when I heard all the rattling going on outside, it was certainly not a raccoon, it wasn't wild animals, this was a storm that was upon me. And I was alone, and I opened my back door and I went outside because I wanted to see what the damage was in the storm. And as I looked around in my backyard, people of God, everything I owned, like all my garbage, all of the recycle bin, everything was strewn all over the yard. And I was standing on the back steps looking out at all of the mess. Do you ever think that your life is in a mess? There's some things that need to be put in order. Instead of our mess, the Lord says, I want you to have order. Order. The Lord loves order, not only in his church, but order in our personal life. Instead of chaos, instead, he says, I want order. I looked out over all of my mess and I began to contemplate. Everything there symbolized what I was going through. This was the moment that I realized this is my life. Everything here represents the mess that I'm in, the mess that I couldn't find my way out of. And in that moment, I knew God had something else for me. The mess was not going to be my life. The Lord has something else instead. I want to give you just four points today on how to begin again. My message is called How to Begin Again. I've encountered many people in the last few weeks and in the last few months that are at a place in their life where they don't know how to begin again. For to begin again means you're going to have to let go of something you've been holding on to for a long time. And to begin again means we're going to have to let go and move forward. The moving forward is the hard part. The holding on to the mess, we get used to it. We get used to it. But the Lord says those things that we've gotten used to, that mess that we've gotten used to, the Lord says, I am coming to heal your heart. I'm coming to heal your mind. I'm coming to bring transformation instead of that which we've gotten used to. Maybe you are used to abuse, emotional, physical, in every dimension, we're used to abuse. Maybe we're used to lack. And we think, this is it. This is what my life is. But the Lord has something else instead. Instead. He doesn't want us to hold on to that which we are used to. I remember looking out at all of the mess. And I thought, all of this represents everything that my life is. And I've gotten used to it. Sometimes we get used to being alone. We get used to having no family there. We get used to no relationships that are formed. We get used to believing that the Lord is long gone. He's on the other side. But the Lord said those things that we've gotten used to. We've gotten used to broken relationships. We've gotten used to the loss of a loved one. We've gotten used to pain. But the Lord says, today, I've got something else for you instead. Don't forget the blood. Don't forget the blood. That was the prophetic message over us this morning. The blood that washes white. The blood that cleans. The blood that brings restoration. Don't forget the blood. Because what you've gotten used to is not of me, says the Lord. It's not of me. The enemy has come in and said, you live like this for all your days, and you've gotten used to this. Sure, I want to go on a trip, but I can never afford it. Sure, I want to go on vacation, but it'll never happen. Yes, I want this, but I have that instead. The Lord says, that is not the way of my kingdom. It is not who we are. It is not who God is. There is no hopelessness in the kingdom of God. And there is no get used to it. Do you hear that term in your life all the time? Well, get used to it. Get used to the pain. Get used to the lack. Get used to the abuse. That is not the Lord's. That is not his way, and that is not the kingdom of God. The Lord says those things that we've gotten used to, I'm shaking it up. I'm shaking it off, and I'm going to strip you of those grave clothes, says the Lord. Get used to it is not a biblical phrase. Show me that in the Bible. Get used to it. We don't get used to the stuff that the enemy brings. We don't get used to his lies. We don't get used to his abuse. That is not the way of the kingdom of God. I want my people to be victorious instead of getting used to what the enemy has brought into their life. I'm used to working 9 to 5, day and night, night and day, and I'm never going to have that job I want. I'm never going to have to change my career. I've been in this place too long. We've gotten used to it. And so to shift and to change is going to require too much of me. Oh, how wonderful to see so many people from all over the world who, instead of saying, I'm used to this, this is all it's going to be. You packed up your bags, you packed up your kids, you packed up your family, and you said, I don't want to get used to this anymore. I want change. Courage. Courage. It requires courage to see the change. It requires courage to let go of that which I'm used to. Failure is something that we get used to. They prosper, but not me. That is not kingdom promise. It is not kingdom mandate. And the Lord says, I want the shift to happen. I want this thing to be taken off your mind. The word will transform your mind if you use the word. Courage, people of God. Don't get used to the way of life, living in a one-room apartment and think that's it. That's my life. I've got 6 kids, and this is all there is. This is not all there is. I'm going to read Romans 8:28. I'm going to have you, can you put it up on the Romans 8:28, the NIV? Let's look at that verse. Let's look at that verse. For the Lord doesn't want us to get used to what we've been used to. He has more He has victory. He has hope. He has restoration. He has it all. And in Romans 8:28, he says, and we know. So the word says, and we know. So we know this. We know this. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. We know this. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. When I was looking at my mess in that storm, the Lord was showing me my beginning, not my end. This is your beginning, and this is where I'm going to begin to clean this up. For the kingdom of God is filled with precious promises of victory, of life, of hope, where there's hopelessness, because we know that all things, how many? Some things? A few things? One thing? All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Does that apply to you this morning? Are you one of those who love the Lord? Put up your hand and declare, I am Christ's child. I belong to him. He belongs to me. Therefore, all things work together for my good. All things. I want you to get that. I want you to memorize that scripture. I believe I had to memorize it as a child. That all things work together for my good. So when the garbage was strewn all over my backyard and I stood on the steps and watched the mess that needed to clean up, the Lord says, you are mine and I am yours. And it could be our health. We have issues with our health and we think this is it. I'm supposed to get used to the pain. I'm supposed to get used to this way of life. I'm supposed to get used to this. But all things, even infirmity, even disease, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. Are you called according to his purpose? Are you called according to his way? Are you called? Because all things work together for your behalf. You don't have to get used to it. That's a lie of the enemy. You don't have to get used to it. That's the reason why we're here on Thursday night gap prayer, is because we don't want to get used to it. We don't want to get used to what the enemy's giving us. We're here praying because we know and we have believed that what the Lord has promised, he's more than able. He's more than able. He's more than able. He's more than able. And I don't have to get used to it. I don't have to get used to all the years of working below my potential. Courage. The Lord says that change takes courage. The shift in our lives take courage. And I admire those who had the courage to leave your homeland to go for a better life. My mom had the courage at 18 to leave Jamaica, because her mom said, you're going to be a nurse. And there was no school in Jamaica that could teach her that. So she sent her to England. And my mom had horrific stories of England back in those days. But she said, courage. God sent me here. Did God send you here? Did God send you here because I wasn't born here? Were you born here? Who was born in this land? Because you see everybody else who wasn't. It took courage for us to get here because we no longer wanted to get used to the life that we had. And that's what it is when we leave the world and come to Christ. We don't want to get used to the sin. We don't want to get used to this pain. There's got to be something better. And the Lord says, I have something for you. All things work together for the good of those who love me. And if you want a part of that, then come to me. Come to me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. It took courage. I remember the next day, I said, God, I'm not going out in that storm to clean up that mess. And the next day, I was in my backyard picking up the pieces of all that I had lost because I didn't want to get used to living in a mess. If you don't want to get used to it, if you don't want to get used to a life that's below the potential that Jesus has for you, then people of God, get on your knees and cry out to him, for he knows a way of escape. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He made a way for me. He made a way for you. My mom suffered in England, but she received her nursing degree, and then came to Canada, and this is where we are. It takes courage to make the change. It takes courage to say, I no longer want to live this status quo. It takes courage to fill out that application for college or university. It takes courage. Ephesians 6:16. Faith and courage is one of our keys. If we don't want to get used to the life the enemy has for us, it's going to take courage and faith. And in Ephesians 6:16, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. In addition to all you do for the Lord, in addition to your prayer time and the time you're spending in the Word, in addition to you coming and being with the saints, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the, I just call it the devil. The devil. That's who it is. That's who our enemy is. I don't want to sugarcoat him. That's who he is. And he has come to steal, kill, and destroy your destiny. Don't let him take it. Don't let him take your kids. Don't let him take your future. Don't live in a way because everybody else does when the Lord has promised so much more. All things work together for my good. Let's say that together, and I want you to put your hand on your heart. All things work together for my good. So where I'm challenged in this moment, where it seems hard in this moment, where the door keeps getting shut in my face in this moment, all things work together for my good. They can only slam the door in our face for so long. Because all things are going to work for my good. They can only deny me entrance for so long. Because all things work together for my good. They can only say no for a period of time before my God steps in and says, because of your faith, I'm going to move this mountain. Do you remember the word that even if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, do you know how small a mustard seed is? I have some in my house. If my faith is in this place where you can hardly see it, but I still have faith, you can move that mountain. And where men have said, get used to it, get used to taxes and more taxes and more taxes and more taxes, I don't live according to Caesar. The Lord told Peter, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar, but give unto God that which is God's. We don't live in this realm. We live in a higher place. We live with greater authority. We are anointed and appointed people of God. We're called and chosen, so we don't have to get used to it. I go to the throne of grace and I ask my God to open the door. I ask my God, help me clean up the mess. Help me, Father, I need to be restored. My family needs restoration. My family needs to stop the quarreling and the fighting and the backbiting. God, help us step into the situation. And he says, yes, daughter, yes, son, all things work together for your good. I'm going to work it out for your good. I'm going to make it right for your good. And many are waiting for documents to be signed. Many are waiting for appointments with people in authority. Many are waiting to be set free from waiting. But the Lord says, faith, my friend, faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, not in the system that you live in. Our faith has to be in a higher place than the system that we live in. We don't have to get used to it. We don't have to get used to them slamming the doors. We live in a higher place. And Queen Esther knew that. When Queen Esther knew that her people were about to be wiped off the planet, she said, I must go and see the king. And she said, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. Well, let me tell you, people of God, that's what I do. When things look like this is all there is, this is all it's going to be, I remember my times with the Lord, and I would walk into my bedroom and I would sit in my prayer chair, and I know that he hears me. And he has a scepter extended towards me. And he has a scepter extended towards you. So what looks hard now, the Lord says, instead of that, I'm going to make you victorious. For all things work together for your good. There's a scepter extended towards you. Because we are God's people, his chosen nation, his royal priesthood, and he's not going to let us fall. All things are going to work out for my good. Faith and courage. Faith and courage. Faith and courage. Don't put it aside. Make that phone call. Fill out that application. Because people of God, I'm sure I've given this testimony before, but listen, testimonies tell of the goodness of the Lord. It encourages you. It lifts you up. But many years ago, I was living in an apartment with my child, and I remember it's a dumpy place in a dumpy neighborhood, and I said, God, am I supposed to live in the status quo? Should I get used to it? Should I get used to it? But I know the word. I know what the Lord says. He has greater things for me. And I remember someone came to me and said, Anne-Marie, why don't you apply to get one of those townhouses? And I said, do you know the waiting list is like 10 years? I said, my kid will be in college before, thank you, I get a house. And that was not faith coming out of my mouth, but the Lord corrected me and said, fill out the application. There were no houses available, just like today. Place for us to live, a place for your family. There was none available at the time. I was living in a dumpy apartment. And someone came and said, I think you should apply for that house. See, if you don't have enough faith to believe for yourself, Lord will send someone into your life to encourage you to try again. Don't get used to it. That's what the enemy wants, to put shackles on us, to put chains on us, and we get used to the chains. That is not what God has for us. So with courage and faith, I filled out the application, knowing this is an impossible thing. But I was learning about faith in God. I mailed in the application, expecting to get one of those letters saying, thank you for your application, blah, 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 and I move on with my life. But I didn't hear back. 6 months went by. I didn't hear back. And I thought I just went on with my life in my old dumpy apartment. But I couldn't get used to it. I just thought, this isn't for me. One day I was at work. It was my birthday. It was my birthday. And the phone rang at the station where I was. And there was a woman on the phone. And she said, are you Anne-Marie? I said, yes, I am. She said, that application you filled out, do you know there's a place available on the mountain? And she says, what I'd like you to do, I'm going to send you a form to fill out. And I want you to put in the address of this place. And I want you to say that is the place you want. I haven't seen this place. This woman on the phone is giving me instructions of what to do, because the Lord said, I don't want you to have a life that you get used to it. So I filled out the application when it came in the mail. Remember back then, everything is mail. There is no email. There is no easy thing. Everything is snail mail. I filled it out with this address of this place I have never seen. And I sent it in. Within a few weeks, the woman called me back and she said, Anne-Marie, you have your house. You have the house you want. This is impossible. There were none available. I'm encouraging you, people of God. Faith and courage, even as small as a mustard seed. I had mustard seed faith because my circumstances around me was telling me, get used to it. This is all there is. She called. She said, congratulations, you can move in July 1st. And I said to her, are you listening, people of God? I said, thank you so much. Can you please tell Patricia, or I forgot the name of the woman, please tell Patricia, thank you for calling me and helping me fill out this application. And the voice went silent. And I'm thinking, oh, God, she changed her mind. And she said, who? I said, Patricia. She called me. She told me to fill out that address. She told me what to say. She told me how to fill out that whole form. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about, but no Patricia has ever worked here. Don't get used to it. Don't get used to falling down. Don't get used to lack. Don't get used to all those things that unbelief brings. Don't get used to pain and infirmity and abuse. The Lord says that is not of his kingdom. The woman said, no, Patricia works here. And I dropped the phone thinking, who was I talking to all this time? I didn't call her. She called me. She said, I'm going to fill out the form this way. She gave me details on how to fill out this application. And then she said, sign it at the bottom and mail it in. There's no woman by that name who has ever worked in that office. July 1st, I moved into my house because I did not want to get used to it. Faith and courage. Let's say it again. All things work together for the... That work together from my good. Even my mustard seed faith, the Lord says, I'm going to make it happen. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's not about my ability. It's not about my gifting. It's not about what I could do. It was always about what the Lord can do. The Lord sent me to tell you today, don't get used to what man has for you, because it is not what God has for you. Faith and courage. The Lord says, I have given you discernment. Discernment is an amazing gift. Discernment is that spiritual gift that allows you to know what is from the Lord or what is from the enemy. Do you have any experience in your life when someone comes into your sphere of influence and they're trying to tell you things and they're speaking some language that you do not understand? Your discernment, it's like spidey sense. Bing! It goes off. And you know, God didn't send this person. God didn't send this person. They don't talk like me. For remember, the word says, my sheep know my voice. We know the Father's voice. We know how he speaks. We know how he relates to us. So when someone else comes and begins to tell us something that is contrary to that, we know this isn't how of the Lord. This isn't how he speaks to me. This isn't how we relate. Discernment. I want you to ask the Lord for discernment if you don't have it. Because sometimes when people are bringing things into your life, sometimes it's a trap, and we need to know what is truth and what is a lie. More than ever in this time where the days are dark, the word says the days are evil. Discern what is good, discern what is evil, and know how to conduct yourself as God's children. Because not all things coming into our life is from the Lord. Our discernment is of great importance in this hour. Another thing I want you to know before we go today is to take some risks. Because we live in this realm where men tell us how to live, and men tell us what to eat. Men tell us where we live and how much money we make, we sometimes don't like to take risks because we can't see the end from the beginning. But I want you to know, if we want to break free of living under our potential, we have to take some risks. We got to take some risks. And even if it doesn't work out, all things, what? Work together for my good. You see that job on the some workplace site, some employment site, and you think, I think I could do that job. But then that fear and the doubt comes, and you think, I can't risk it. I'm not going to get it. 10,000 people are going to take that job. But if you don't take the risk, how do you know it isn't you? Get ready to take some risks even before the end of the year. Get ready to make that application. Get ready to make that phone call. Get ready to stand up for your family. Get ready. Get set and take some risks. Taking risks is not a bad thing. Taking risks is not going to bring you harm, because our failures are not fatal when we're in the kingdom of God. All things work together for my good. So I need not have to be afraid to take a risk, to take that trip, to go and apply for that passport, to go and take that job that is even across the ocean. Because we are a royal priesthood and a holy nation, and all things work together for my good. For my good. My son, when he came to me and said, Mom, I'm gonna go to school in Australia. And I looked at my bank account, and I looked at this kid, and I looked at my bank account, and I'm looking at this kid who wants to take a risk. It's a big risk. It's going to be 3 years away from my family, but I think this is what I'm supposed to do. You have those people in your life. You have those children. You have the next generation saying to you, I want to take a risk. The very worst thing you could do is shut them down. Because if we shut them down, they remain in that place of the status quo of the system. He said, I want to take a risk and I want to go. And I said, but you're going to leave your family. You're going to leave this. You're going to leave that to go. Do you remember God said to Abraham, I want you to take a risk and believe me and leave this life. Remember, Abraham's tribe worshiped the stars. They were astrologists. He didn't know anything about God until God showed up in his life. And as he began to learn about God, the Lord said to him, take a risk. And move everything you have, every pot, every pan, every piece of fork, and leave this land. See, many of us have done that. We have left our land to go to another place. Well, if you took that risk, then be willing to take another. Be willing to step out in faith and take a risk. If you fall, all things work together. But if you don't take the risk, how will you know your God? How will you know? Remember, God says, those who are lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Those who hide their talents and say, God, I'm not going to spend it, because if I lose it, I'm not going to have anything to show. But see, the Lord's not concerned if we lose or gain in the talents that he gives us. His concern is, did you use the talent? Many of us have giftings, we have anointing, and we still haven't taken the risk. You could teach, you can manage, you can run a company. You're an engineer, a nurse, a doctor. I've given that to you, says the Lord. But if you don't take the risk, how will you know? When my kid said, I want to take the risk, I was shaking on the inside. I would be losing him for 3 years. No mother wants their kid to be over the ocean away from them for too long. But 3 years, he said, I got to take the risk, Mom. It's my life. I know I'm going to leave my family, but this is my life. I believe this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. And it requires me to take a huge risk. Well, it paid off. It paid off. And he moved on because of that risk. Maybe you have something that you need to take the risk. I want to buy that house. I think that's my house. I may not have everything together, but I think that's my house. I want to apply for that job. I think that's my job. I may not have all the qualifications, but God said that he would give me favor. When the Lord gives you favor, there is no amount of education and ability that can stop you. It can't stop you. And Joseph proved that. Joseph proved that. It's not going to stop me. And one day this kid became prime minister of the land he was in, despite all the challenges. That's my favorite story in the Bible. You've got to read the story of Joseph. You will learn so much about taking a risk, about when you fall, about when you're broken, about when you're sick, when you have been betrayed, when you have lost everything. The God of all truth can restore it all. He will restore it all. Don't be afraid to take the risk, to take the job, and to move into that which God has for you. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. Only 20 more points and we're out of here. Change. Be happy about change. Be glad about change. Change is a constant in our life. Change brings growth and increase in our lives. But if we won't take the risk, and if we don't want to move to the next stage in God and the next level, if we won't accept change, we cannot see the breakthrough. I had to accept the change of not having this young man in my house whom I loved, and he would be gone for 3 years. That is change. But you gotta take the risk. Transition. It's a necessary process. And if we allow the transition in our lives, it will bring great transformation. Transition could be a move geographically. It could be a move economically. It could be a move in a relationship or out of a relationship. But transition is necessary. It works with change. Be willing to accept change and be willing to accept the transition that change brings. Be ready to accept change and be ready to accept the transition that change brings. One last scripture in James 1. This is it. We're wrapping it up. In James 1, 2 to 4 says, perseverance and endurance is the factors of our breakthrough. I know what it is like to persevere in prayer. I know what it's like to persevere when you don't see the answer. I know what it's like to persevere when the storm is upon me. And you know that too. And what does James 1 say? Consider it pure joy. Didn't we talk about that today? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. What a place it is in God when we lack nothing, despite all the changes around us, the wars that are happening, the rumors of war. If we persevere in God, we're going to see the breakthrough that He has for His people. We're in a time where we're living through wars. We're in this time where we're seeing rumors of wars. We must persevere in God. We must persevere with faith. We must persevere through the change, the constant gardener in our life. Change. Can you hear me? There's a constant gardener in our life. Stand up for a minute. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Let Holy Spirit move. Let Holy Spirit talk. Let Holy Spirit bring restoration. Let Holy Spirit do it, for He's the only one that can. Let Holy Spirit work, and let Him have His perfect work in us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Change is hard, but change brings transition. Transition is hard, but transition brings perseverance and endurance. So I thank you, Lord, we're not going to settle for second best. We're not that kind of people. We're the Gideon's army kind of people. We're the Joel's army kind of people. We will not settle for second best. When the Lord says go to a higher place, even if our faith is as small as a mustard seed, it can be done. It can be done, for there is nothing impossible with God. And Father God, lift up your hands in the Holy Ghost. Lift up your hands, people of God. Give Him an opportunity to move into those areas of your life. Let Him reveal to you what He's working on. Let Him reveal to you the assignment that you have upon your life. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And He's our God. And He's for us, not against us. And all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your people this morning. Those who are watching online, those who are watching all over the world. Father God, we ask you to touch their hearts this morning, to remind them of your promise, to remind them, Father God, that you are a good God and you have only the best for your people. And we're not going to live second best lives. We're not going to live as if we are second best and that our circumstances is enough. The Lord. Lord is our strength. The Lord is our Redeemer. He's our hope. He's our life. And I thank you, God, you don't want us to settle. You want us to take the steps and take the risk and move up even into greater levels of glory. We praise you and bless you this morning. We worship and magnify your name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, la, da, 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 da. So settle in Holy Spirit. Just pray in your prayer language if you have that. Use your gifts and your anointing. Don't hide them under a bushel. Yes, sir. Just can't depend on my voice.
We exalt thee.
Yes, Lord.
We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh.
Worship him this morning. Worship him. Use your own words. Use your own tongue. Worship him. For he is here and he's in this place and he wants to restore unto you the joy of salvation. We exalt thee, Lord. We exalt thee, Lord. And we lift your name up this morning. We exalt thee, Lord. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee. For you are worthy, you are worthy. You are holy, you are holy. We exalt thee this morning. Oh Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Oh, we thank you this morning. You alone are good and you alone are God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we lift up our voices this morning and we exalt thee, Lord. We lift up our voices and we bless you. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're worthy. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Bring restoration and healing and transformation. Oh, we exalt thee, Lord. Oh, Lord, we exalt thee. Oh Lord, we exalt thee. Oh, we exalt thee. For those who have joined us online, we want to say thank you on behalf of Pastor Patty and Pastor Alex. They will be back with us this week. But thank you for joining us today at the Transformation Center. May the Lord be with you this week. May he make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. And may he give you peace. Have a great week this week. We speak peace over those who are watching. We speak peace over your life, peace in your relationship, peace in your finances this morning. The Lord is good. He's good. He's good. And we won't let go of his hand this morning. So we thank you for being with us, and we'll see you again soon. Don't forget, people of God, we do have the altars here open. We have a prayer team. They can come on up now. Those who would like to fellowship, we have lots of goodies out in the foyer for you. But we would like to pray with you. So come on up if you would like prayer. Come on up if you would like to receive the impartation. For the Lord is good. He's good. He's good. And we love him. We love him. So we thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in this house. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's just give our wonderful worship leader a hand. He's done such a wonderful job bringing us into the presence of the Lord.